I'm waiting for honorable members to settle down so that we can reconvene and get the...
I know.
All right, shall we reconvene? In terms of the agenda, we are now ready to receive a briefing by the Council for Quality Assurance in General and Further Education and Training, Uma Lucy, on the quality assurance of the 2014 examination results of the following assessment bodies: Department of Higher Education and Training, National Certificate Vocational, NCV, General Education and Training Certificate, Adult Basic Education and Training, Level 4, and NATED N1 to N3 Independent Examination Board, ABET Level 4, and Benchmark GTC ABET Level 4. Now, I will now call upon the chairperson of Uma Lucy, which is known as the CEO, the chairperson is Professor Paul Mink.
Over to you. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education, I want to say as Chairperson it's indeed a privilege and honour to present Uma Lucy's work to you today. As far as I know, this is the first time in several years that the Council has been invited to brief the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education regarding its mandate and its work. Today I'm joined by the CEO, Dr. Mafua Kumetse, on my right, and Mrs. Zodwa Modimokwane on my left. She's the Executive Director for Quality Assurance of Assessment and Monitoring. And I am looking for my other colleague. Okay. This is Faith Ramaklali. She's the Senior Manager for Quality Assurance of Assessment. Uma Lucy has a specific mandate, as outlined in the GenFedCo Act. One aspect of this mandate is to assure the quality of assessments at exit points and to issue certificates to successful candidates. Uma Lucy is expected to discharge this national responsibility with a great sense of care and assiduousness. We owe it to this, to the people of South Africa and to the learners whose future is directly affected by the decisions we make. Because they have far-reaching consequences for the candidates, the examinations for the NCV levels 2 to 4, GTC, ABET level 4, and NATED N1 to N3 examinations are all high-stake assessments at an exit point of the education system. And therefore, we should have all the necessary checks and balances and safeguards required to guarantee fairness to all the candidates, but also to provide confidence to the candidates and to employers and to other consumers, higher education, etc., that the certificates are credible, and credible simply means why should we believe you? Uma Lucy has well-established and rigorous and robust procedures that provide assurances that all learners receive appropriate recognition for their performance in line with agreed national standards. In the execution of its responsibility, I have to say Uma Lucy understands that at times it has to make unpopular decisions. And at the same time, Uma Lucy remains self-critical and open to criticism and input from the outside. We will therefore continue to deepen our commitment and our research agenda so as to enhance our quality approaches by striving to remain a learning and open organization. So in the final analysis, Chairperson, we exist to make a contribution to the quality of education in our country, So when we quality assure the work of the various assessment bodies, such as the Department of Higher Education and Training and IEB, we are sharing and applying standards and expectations in the hope that in the process, these standards and expectations will themselves be raised. It is for this reason that as the Quality Council, we remain committed to the following: improving education standards by quality assuring all aspects of the qualifications under consideration, not just the examinations. Umalusi is therefore committed to improving the provision of data and standards of internal assessments across the system. We want to ensure that certification is based on reliable data, data with integrity. I have to say that during the standardization process this past year as in previous years, we often had to send, on numerous occasions, we had to send the department back because of anomalies in the CETA data provided, both in format and in substance. And our CEO, Dr. Rakumetsi, will speak more specifically about the nature of the problems that we're experiencing as far as unstable data is concerned. Having said this, it is worth noting that also through our monitoring and moderation processes, we have observed that the public assessment system still has a few challenges, such as reports of irregularities or non-reports of irregularities that we've discovered, particularly in some of the provinces, and these require urgent attention. We are still waiting for a plan of action from the DHET in this regard. We would certainly appreciate greater urgency on this matter. So in conclusion, I would like to recognize the excellent work done by the Umalusi team, the members of the Assessment Standards Committee. We have a wonderful new Assessment Standards Committee with a healthy mixture of youth and experience. I'd like to put on record my appreciation to the chairperson of that group, Professor Kurt Look, who apologized he could not be here today. Also, I would be remiss not to acknowledge the long years of supports provided by Professor Moon Moodley and Professor Paul Fatty of Fitch University to mentor us and to assist us to make the best possible decisions. I want to thank the CEO, Dr. Rakumetsi, for his excellent leadership and all the Umalusi senior managers on my left and on my right who worked tirelessly and against stringent timelines to deliver the best of the country, for the country. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Prof. We will now hand over to Dr. Rakumetsi to brief us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With your permission, Chairperson, I want to request that I should not get into the presentation, but just get into one or two issues that will contextualize where we are in terms of how we relate to this committee and the department, and secondly, get into the certification issue that were raised earlier on, so that you get a feel of where Umalusi is with these processes. First of all, in terms of contextualizing how we relate with the department and therefore with this committee, I need to indicate that in 2009, with the split of the Department of Education and the creation of the Department of Higher Education and Training, the President issued a proclamation, which proclamation indicated our responsibilities in relation to the two departments of education as Umalusi. First of all, Umalusi, according to the presidential proclamation, reports to the Minister of Higher Education and Training on the National Qualifications Framework, NQF. We report to the Minister of Higher Education and Training with SAQA, TCTO, and CHE. But when it comes to our strategic plans, budget and annual reports, the rest of the other QCs and SAQA remain with the Department of Higher Education and Training, and Umalusi reports to the Minister of Basic Education. But when it comes to the services that we offer as a quality assurance body, we service both departments. I think that background is important so that we know where we are. We continue to service both the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Higher Education and Training. Now, the responsibility that we carry out for the Department of Higher Education and Training and this committee is huge. That is why reporting to this committee is so important. Last year, we had these figures as enrollments for the NATED programs, 835,479 learners for the NATED. For the MCV, we had 1,047,686. For GTC, which is also in this department, 389,397. Now, having said that, Chair, I just wanted to amplify the importance of the relationship of FUMALUS with this portfolio committee and with the Department of Basic Education. We interact on a continuous basis with the office of the DG at my level, and at the level of Mefeith Ramutali and Nezoda Mudimangwani, they interact with the colleagues at the level of Nadine, Mephold, and Dr. Mashobo on a continuous basis. Now, getting to the issue of certification, I need to indicate that in the report which was submitted to Council at its sitting on the 27th of May, that is last week, 2015, the financial report says of the bad debts that we have on the books of FUMALUSI, that is the people who owe us for 120 days and more, 3.1 million was from the college sector, 3.1 million. And that will be from private and public TVET colleges. And that is out of the bad debt of 3.2 million. 3.1 is from the sector. Now, when you look at the new debt, you know, that is not in the red, including the one that is in the red. That is total debt. That would be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 100 days. Overall, the total for the TVET colleges, public and private, is 3.9 billion. And when it comes to the total, it is 8.3 million. So that it constitutes now 50%. But it is worse when it comes to budgets. I think you have the picture. Yes, Chairperson, I need to also confirm that indeed we got a request from the Department of Higher Education and Training to consider the policy shift that the DG spoke about of not having three exit points for the NCV but one. That matter was tabled at Council last week and Council approved it. It approved that we have only one exit point, which will obviate some of the civilization problems that we have in the system. A lot of said in the previous presentation about the capacity of CETA. I want to add the point that CETA is not delivering. And just correct the slide that was presented by Nadine, which says, in slide number 7, it says CETA has made numerous commitments. However, they have been able to honor these commitments. My sense is that there is a not. They have not been able to honor this commitment. Yes, that is CETA. The DG has convened a number of meetings between the Department of Higher Education and Training, CETA and UMALUSI. And I led the UMALUSI delegation into those meetings where CETA had to account on how it commits to deal with the problem that we have with certification with the Department of Higher Education and Training. Despite the numerous commitments, they've been found wanting, and we are still, even today, still sitting with serious problems, and I'll amplify those problems. What is surprising, Honorable Chairperson, is that CETA is servicing UMALUSI on other things that are IT related, as it is government policy. We are not having these problems, and we are paying them directly for that. CETA is servicing the Department of Basic Education when it comes to examinations, resulting and certification. Department of Basic Education does not have these problems, you know. But the relationship that we have with SEED in relation to the problem at hand of certification is a third-party relationship. We don't relate with SEED directly. We don't pay them for the services. They are hired and contracted by the Department of Education and Training. So that where they are not delivering, it will be the Department of Education and Training that has to help hold them accountable because they pay them. They've got a contract with them. We've got a contract with them on other things, not on this one. We are third party. We receive the data that comes from the department through CETA system. I think that point has been adequately made. Chairperson, when it comes to systemic issues, the systemic issues lie with CETA, yes, I want to agree. The program they use is old. They don't have capacity. I get a report from my staff who have been at Umalusi for 7 years, who came from Umalusi, two of them, that since they left CETA, their posts at CETA have not been filled. They've been at Umalusi for 7 years, two colleagues who are working on our system, their positions have not been filled. 7 years is a long time. Now, coming to the level of colleges themselves, their failure to pay their account is creating problems as well. You know, and I've given you the amount, but there are other problems as well. And this problem that I'm going to talk to, I've recorded them in a letter to the DG on Monday, this past Monday, coming out of the council meeting of last week where these issues were discussed in the council meeting of the 27th of May, 2015. The first problem is the info that is fed by the colleges into the system is wrong. Is wrong in that where the marks of a learner are outstanding, instead of putting in 777, which indicates, according to the computer language, that the marks are outstanding, they indicate a 0 or a 1. Now, once you indicate a 1 or a 0 or any other point, by the time the marks are available, the system is going to kick them out because it recognizes the 0 and the 1. But if you have recorded 777, it will know that the marks are still outstanding. Now it holds, the computer holds on to that 0 that has entered in the first instance, even at the point when the marks will be available. Now, it is very important that the department impresses upon the colleges that practice is unacceptable because it blocks the learners out, even when the marks are now available. I think I've made the point adequately. The second threat is related to the challenges in combining marks across examination sessions. Will result in candidates being marked absent for internal assessment. In fact, SBA has been undertaken maybe 3 years ago. Now, when the resulting happens now in 2015-2014, the system, the colleagues don't indicate that the marks of SBA are lying on the system. Now, the system on its own does not recognize that this candidate has had SBA previously. Those are human errors that are committed by the colleagues due to poor training at college level. But Chairperson, also, there is a serious problem that council frowns upon as we were debating this issue at council last week. It is the problem of the inconsistent data where as the learner is accumulating the marks for a subject, the system will indicate that the learner got 60% in 2009. And once all the marks are now available and they are ready for certification, that 60 changes to 80 or changes to 50. It is dropped. The learner is saying the statement of results, it says 50. But by the time we result, you know, with the combination of 2009, it now gives a different mark. Worse, in the initial statement you say that examination was written in 2009. Now, later when we get final data to certificate, it says now that examination was written in 2013 for that subject. That is problematic. Now, as you would note, this is a serious reputational risk for Umalusi and the department. For Elena to get this mark today on the same examination and to get another mark tomorrow. The serious reputational risk. And where we've been advised that these discrepancies will affect all exam cycles, past, present, and future, by the department, and that we should accept that. My council said we will not accept that. My council said we are not going to accept that these are minor problems, they've occurred previously, they'll continue to occur in the future. My council said no. As a matter of fact, council then instructed me as the CEO to write to the department, which I did, to indicate that we are going to put hold the certification processes of the MCB certificate until all these issues are resolved at the highest level. Because they are serious as far as we are concerned. We can't have our figures changing like the figures of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. We are a quality assurance body. We must quality assure something that is consistent. And that is happening, of course, with the DDE system that is managed by the very same system. However, we realize that there are young people whose lives are on hold because these problems continue for whatever reason. They continue for whatever reason. So we have taken our cue from council, and that much has been communicated to the department that for now, we put the processes on hold. Chairperson, as requested, I now get into our presentation. Can we go into the presentation, which I'm going to share with them from time. First of all, we're going to look at the context in which we operate. We're going to look at the principles. We're going to look at the processes that we follow as an organization in terms of our quality assurance role. First of all, the regulatory framework in which we operate, MANUS has been established through the promulgation of an Act of Parliament, the General and Further Education and Training Quality Assurance Act, Act number 2001, that was amended in 2008. The amendment came as a result of the NCF Act, which came in 2008, which changed roles and functions to some extent. Then the Jansekwa Act, which is the act that established Dumaluzi, had to be amended somewhat. In the system, we've got two predecessors, namely the Joint Matriculation Board, JMB of 1918, and the South African Civil Education Council Staff Set, which was established in 1986. And it indicates that these two bodies focus in the main on matric, and they do not have the responsibility of TVS colleges and other centers. With the establishment of Umaluzi through the Jansekwa Act, our mandate was expanded to include other sectors of education. And we started work in 2001, having taken over from the South African Education Council. Now, I'm going to quote sections of the founding act of Umaluzi, the Jansekwa Act. Section 17A says, the council must assure the quality of assessment at exit points. Exit points, the quality assure the assessment thereof. The council must perform the external moderation of assessment of all assessment bodies and education institutions. The council may adjust the raw marks during the standardization process. It goes on to say the council must, with the concurrence of the Director General and after consultation with the relevant assessment body or education institution, approve the publication of the results of learners if the council is satisfied that the assessment body or education institution has conducted the assessment free from any irregularity that may jeopardize the integrity of the assessment or its outcomes, complied with the requirements prescribed by the council for conducting assessment, applied the standards prescribed by the council, which a learner is required to comply with in order to obtain a certificate, complied with every other condition determined by council. Now, like I indicated, in 2008, Parliament promulgated the National Qualifications Framework, Act number 67 of 2008. This act established three policy councils, Umaluzi, CHE, Council on Higher Education, and Quality Council for Trade and Occupations. Umaluzi being in charge of general and further education and training. And we are also responsible, according to this act, for the development, management, and promotion of our sub-framework of qualification, general and further education and training qualification sub-framework. the capacity of private providers also to offer qualifications that are registered on our platform. In other words, for any teacher, college, adult center or school that wants to operate as a private institution, we have to look at their capacity and evaluate and accredit them to operate in the system. The Section 37H of the MPF Act said the QCE must develop and implement policy and criteria for assessment for the qualifications on its staff framework. Now, we do the following in terms of our framework of quality assurance of assessment. We evaluate and accredit the assessment bodies. The Department of Higher Education and Training, the Department of Basic Education, because they are public assessment bodies, they are deemed accredited. The IEB, Independent Examinations Board, Benchmark, and SACAIN, South African Comprehensive Assessment Institutes, have to get their accreditation from members to operate. The IEB included, because there is confusion. Some people think that the IEB is on its own, nobody controls it. It is controlled by UMALUS, and even the thinkers of the learners who write the examinations through them are certified by UMALUS. We do periodic inspection of assessment systems across the country and across assessment bodies, including the department. We do ongoing monitoring of assessment systems. We quality assure external examinations through the following processes: moderation of examinations question paper. Every question paper for a qualification that we are going to certify, we have to moderate it and give it the UMALUS stamp of approval. We monitor and moderate school-based assessment. That happens at the schools, that happens at the colleges. Throughout the year, we moderate that. I can indicate later on, if the need arises, how we do that. We monitor the conduct of exams. We know that the exams that are written by the institution under the quality assurance of UMALUS happen throughout the country, from Cape Town to Messina, Springbok to Richards Bay. That's where they happen. We also do the moderation and verification of marking. Moderation and verification of marking. And we do the standardization of assessment outcomes. Chairperson, with your permission, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Ibrahim Ramakali, Senior Manager, Quality Assurance of Assessment at UMALUS.
Over to you, madam.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to focus on the quality assurance work that UMALUS performed in the year 2014 for the November examination for the Department of Higher Education, Independent Examination Board, and the benchmark. The first process that we conduct is the external moderation of question papers. The papers want to ensure that the question papers are set at the required standard and that the question papers are relatively fair, to ensure that there are no candidates that are disadvantaged because of the area where they stay. Our papers need to be reliable, they need to be aligned to their marking guidelines, and also they sample adequate curriculum, and also we sample relevant conceptual domains. They test the relevant content in those particular subjects, and also assess the relevant cognitive challenges. They discriminate amongst your gifted learners and those of your lower gifted candidates. The approach that we do for DHET, for NATED and NCV, we do offsite. And I'm going to explain, because it's written there, what do we mean by offsite and what do we mean by centralized. Centralized means that external moderation happens at the premises of the assessment body. Offsite means the papers are couriered or are sent through passwords to the examiners and external moderators. They are not taking place at the premises of the assessment body or UMALUS. The process is as follows. DHET, as an assessment body, is responsible for question paper development and appointment of examiners. And they are also expected to conduct internal moderation before papers are sent to UMALUS. They also appoint internal moderators. UMALUS is responsible for the appointment of external moderators. And then after that, there will be subsequent moderation and approval of papers before they are written by candidates. This is the criteria that we use for question paper moderation. Technical criteria, we normally look at your typing, the layout, and other technical aspects. internal moderation is conducted by the assessment body. Before they submit their papers, they need to ensure that the papers were internally moderated and those reports are submitted to Majesty. And then content coverage, I think I've done that on the other slide. And also the issue of marking guideline is also very critical. They need to be aligned. We check that the marking guideline are aligned to the question paper. There's no language and bias, and the papers are not predictable. They don't cut and copy papers from the previous years to ensure that our papers are of the good standard. Question paper approval. In this slide, it gives you statistics of the number of papers that Umalusi externally moderated and that we approved. You'll see with GTC, those are the numbers. Percentages for papers that were approved at the first moderation when they were submitted to Umalusi, and others the assessment body required subsequent moderation. The model used by Infonated and NCG is different from those ones because the papers are moving between, the reports are moving between the internal moderators and our external moderators. So they use a different model in terms of question paper moderation. So those are also the steps for the NATED and NCG. Maybe I need to highlight that for NATED and also for NCG level 2 and 3, Umalusi has sampled. We didn't moderate all papers, but for NCG, all papers with large enrollment and where they are candidates, Umalusi has moderated all those papers. Areas of good practice for question paper moderation. There were no paper leakages for GTC for the three assessment bodies in 2014. Papers were not predictable. Internal moderators and examiners showed creativity and innovation. And then DHET needs to be commended for setting an extra set of papers which assist in moving to the 18-month cycle. Umalusi appreciate that. And also, we had managed to submit for GTC and also for NATED and NCV, three sets of papers for November exam, March, and the backup papers simultaneously. Umalusi was able to moderate those papers simultaneously to ensure that, you know, we maintain the equivalence of standards of the various papers. Areas of concern. The quality of internal moderation is not satisfactory. It needs to be improved. We have indicated that the assessment bodies that need to do that. And also the issue of training of examiners and internal moderators so that they have a good understanding of the subject and assessment guidelines for the GTC. Focus areas of training, we have listed the subjects that DHET needs to focus on in terms of the breadth and the depth in terms of question paper development. And there was also poor quality memoranda that overlays on the moderate the there was poor quality memoranda overlays on memorandum discussion process to improve the quality of marking. That is for the GTC. Areas of concern again for the JCT. The two subjects listed, the technology and human and social sciences, they didn't meet the cognitive demands at first moderation, which is very critical. Correct versions of question papers and marking guidelines are supposed to be submitted for external moderation. Those were not submitted on time. They need to be made available. Resubmission of rejected question papers to Umalusi, the turnaround time takes too long. DHET should improve on that for the NCV and the NATED subject. And the standard of data papers need to be the same as the one for the November and supplementary exams. It means that Umalusi found out during moderation that the paper for November and supplementary papers were of the good standard, but the backup papers, the examiners didn't do a good job there. The quality and standards of internal moderation needs also a rigorous process for the DHET because internal moderation was not done rigorously. Moderation of question papers again. This one I think is a very serious concern because it creates problems for moderators to moderate the papers for the NATED subject program. The curriculum is outdated and underspecified. It needs urgent revision. The papers are too predictable due to the repetition of from the previous question papers. And one would understand that it's linked to the first one to say, if the curriculum is under-specified, these examiners, you know, sometimes they don't have anything to serve except to go back to the previous year's question papers because the curriculum is too underspecified. And the quality of assessment grades and marking guidelines should also be improved for the NATED and also from the NCV. In terms of the external moderation for internal assessment is any assessment that is conducted internally and marked internally, but it counts towards the achievement of the qualification. For GCC, the internal assessment counts 50% of the final examination mark. NCV, fundamental subjects, it counts 25%. For vocational, it's 50%. The native subject counts 40%. UMALISI conducts the external moderation of internal assessment in order to ascertain the degree to which the assessment body is attempting to assure the standardization across its providers. We want to ascertain that the standard and quality of the task is of the appropriate standard, and we want to establish the extent and quality of internal moderation and feedback that is provided, and also we verify the reliability and validity of the assessment outcome. Areas of good practice. UMALISI has observed that the DHET is now starting to improve in terms of the administration of this internal assessment. They mostly comply on the compliance issue. And we found that in terms of the portfolios, there was improvement because there was meticulous and all relevant documents were found in their portfolios. And that one is for IED where they developed the user guides, which were helpful for the development of the common assessment term. In terms of the quantity of work UMALISI has to quality assure, those are the sets of common assessment tasks. GHET, for GCC, they standardize the tasks because they set common assessment tasks in advance and submit them to UMALISI for external moderation before they are implemented in their learning centers. So these are the statistics and the number of portfolios that UMALISI moderated for the three assessment bodies for the GHET. Areas of concern. IED doesn't have a system to monitor their CAPS. For benchmark, the quality of their CAPS did not cover the specific assessment criteria. The weighting of CAPS did not also comply to the spec for benchmark. For GHET, centers did not submit the educator's portfolio with the sample requested, and there was no evidence of assessment sent there. And it cuts across all the three assessment bodies for the GHET. And then their assessors do not understand the use of rubrics and marking guidelines. It's for GHET and benchmark. There was poor compilation of SBA portfolios. I've indicated the assessment body there. Very poor internal moderation system and processes. And also the authentication also for this internal assessment, looking at the 50%, it's done ad hoc, it's not satisfactory for the GHET. And there were substantial differences between the SGA and the examination mark when we did the statistical moderation. This is something that GHET must take into consideration. The marks of their learners for SBA were very high and the learners could not perform well in the examination. And this can be contributed maybe to teaching and learning. Moderation of internal assessment for the NCV, areas of concern for ICET. The quality of some tasks remains a concern. The enrollment must be in line with the available resources to ensure that candidates are effectively assessed to acquire the practical skills required in the workplace. You find that there is high number of enrollments, but there are no resources to be able to implement the ICET. ICET should be distributed to colleges on time for effective procurement and implementation. And also the marking is not good there because you find that lecturers are very subjective and very lenient in allocation of marks. And internal moderation is also not satisfactory, it needs to be improved. And there is high absenteeism among students, and this affects the implementation of ICET. And NCV ICET, JCT should ensure that it improves and deepens the understanding of the latest ICAS guideline to their lecturers. Also, capacitate them in terms of the development of assignment and tasks. And also, the implementation of practical assessment is still problematic in some of the colleges. and also the implementation of the analysis risk and the taxonomy in terms of, you know, differentiating amongst the cognitive demands is also problematic. The development of marking tools and rubric is still a challenge, and also assessment and internal moderation practices also need attention. Areas of good practices for NACED, ICAS. There were some areas of excellence at some of the sites moderated. You find that they are very dedicated, innovative lecturers. And areas of concern on for the NACED program. The availability and implementation of the latest versions of ICAS guidelines so that, you know, these lecturers have resources on time is very critical. Lecturers need some training. They exhibited limited experience in industry. There's lack of teaching aids and training materials so that it can assist learners to improve the understanding of the subject content. And also class attendance and retention rate is still a problem in some of the colleges. Monitoring of exams, today we give you the statistics for the number of examination centers, the assessment body that we monitored, and also the number of monitors that we deployed, the assessment body. Areas of concern for DAPT, there is lack of storage rooms and inadequate security for question papers. Some of the exam material is transported by these lecturers using taxis in Eastern Cape. Candidates are allowed to write without proper identification. And then some centers keep answer scripts overnight. They don't submit them while there's poor security within the centers. There's low number of candidates who wrote the exam. Therefore, the enrollment is for a GCC there for those two assessment bodies. And then there was poor compliance with the exam regulations. Those are listed there for IEB and benchmark. Poor administration. And chief invigilators lacked expertise to manage exams. This is attributed to poor training or not training. Private exam centers often apply to IEP to conduct exams on alternative dates. It means that one subject can be written in two different dates for IEP for the GCSE. Areas of good practice for the TVET in terms of the monitoring of examination. Managed to observe that there was general management. The general management of exams was good in terms of the security of papers, appointments, and training of invigilators. Areas of concern, irregularities during the writing phase of the examination. Candidates are allowed to enter the exam room with cell phones, and also they are allowed to enter the examination without proper identification. And some of the papers, when monitored, were not sent to the marking center within the stipulated time and were not sexually sent. In terms of the marking space, these are the statistics for the GEQC, the marking centers that we monitored. Areas of good practice, all centers were generally well managed across the three assessment bodies. Adequate security, and they were experienced. And then it means there was much tighter security in terms of the management of the marking process for the three assessment bodies. And we find that the marking personnel training of the marking personnel was done thoroughly, and it was very effective across the three assessment bodies. Areas of concern for the JGT, there was shortage of markers in the Northern Cape and KZN due to appointing markers for more than one learning area. Internal moderation model was different and inconsistent across marking centers for the JGT. Markers in Limpopo disturbed the training process because they wanted to protest for the outstanding remuneration by the DGT. The IEB marking center management plan was not well documented. And the benchmark, there was poor security in the marking phase. Monitoring of marking for TVET, safety and security is generally good. Markers were aware of what constituted irregularities and how they should deal with it. Areas of concern for TVET, incorrect versions of marking guidelines were distributed for English and Afrikaans. Quality of marking and internal moderation of low enrollment subject needs to be reviewed because they are marked not nationally. And then also sometimes we don't have internal moderation for some of the subjects. So they need to be reviewed and ensure that they are centrally marked so that they can have one internal moderator to take care of those all enrollment subjects. There was inappropriate allocation of marking venues. GHED needs to look at the nature of the subject and the number of markers, and they must look at the drawing subjects in terms of ensuring that this is addressed. Verification of marking. This is a process where UMALUSI conducts moderation of the scripts that were marked by the assessment bodies to verify that marking was done consistently across and that it was done according to the marking guidelines. UMALUSI conducts the two processes. We do centralize. We attend memorandum discussions, and we also conduct verification of marking, either on-site or centralized. Areas of good practice for memorandum discussion. We found that there were good procedures because panels had to mark exemplar scripts before marking comments, and they ensured that before marking comments, the markers have demonstrated the acceptance level of competency. And then in DHET, we observed that that good practice was done in 11 learning areas for GETC, and also that there was efficient planning, administration, and management of the training workshop. Areas of concern for DHET is that poor practice for pre-marking in 15 learning areas. Discussion took very long. It was time-consuming. And not pre-marking was also done for the IEP. Areas of good practice for TVET. The sample marking has improved. Areas of concern is that appointment of markers should be finalized well in advance, and marking personnel must attend the marking guidelines discussion. Preparation of marking personnel for the marking process must be improved, and the correct version of marking guidelines must be made available during that particular time. There is the statistics also for the GTC, how UMALUSI conducted the verification of marking. Centralized, it means it happened at UMALUSI premises. On-site, it happened at the premises of the assessment body. Areas of good practice, good internal moderation practices, I've listed the assessment bodies, and also the quality and standard of marking was also good. Standardization and resulting. It's a provision made by the GenSector Act for the Council that the Council may adjust ROMA. It's an international practice. This process is conducted by the Assessment Standards Committee to ensure that it mitigates the effect of other factors rather than learner's knowledge and aptitude that may affect or affect learner performance. And then it deals with the process of variability, where there were difficult question papers, undetected errors during the setting and the approval of the papers. They address those during that particular time, and also when learners had problems in terms of interpretation of questions. UMALUSI conducted the following processes before the resulting process can be undertaken together with the assessment bodies. I'm not going to mention all those things, are there on the slide. In terms of the statistical moderation, the GTC, we have listed the assessment body, subject standardized, raw marks accepted, subject moderated upwards, subject moderated downwards. Raw marks accepted is when the marks that were achieved by candidates are accepted by UMALUSI as they are. Moderated upwards, when they conduct standardization, they get a report from external moderators, from internal moderators of assessment body and so forth, and also post-exam analysis. And they check also in terms of the principles to say, was there anything that, for instance, might have contributed for learners not to perform well? And then if there were other errors, then some subjects will be moderated upwards. We had tended downwards. It's also linked to this. And then we had 5-4 for the DHET. Areas of good practice. Booklets and data sets were submitted according to the prescribed timeline by the two assessment bodies. Standardization and approval meetings went smoothly according to the set timeline. Areas of concern. Late submission of data and inaccurate data delayed the approval, the standardization and approval of results for the DHET. is an area that DHT needs to improve. Also, the submission of qualitative input reports from DHT needs to be addressed. Poor performance of learners, especially for the GTC, some 20 to 40% of candidates did not write the examination. And the third one is for IEB, for non-adherence to the prescribed colors for the standardization booklet, and low enrollment is a problem for benchmark. Statistical moderation for the NATED and NCV. We standardize subjects, not papers, but we moderate papers. So these are the steps for subjects standardized for NATED and for NCV. Raw marks accepted, number of marks moderated upwards, and the number of subjects that we moderated downwards. Statistical moderation, good practices for TVET. Standardization booklets complied with the prescribed colors. Same problems that we raised the other side of late submission of standardization booklets and wrong data sets, low capture rates, also have implications to delay the approval of results. And this one is also critical, non-submission of consolidated irregularity reports to the Assessment Standards Committee and the Approval Committee prior to the standardization is also an area of concern.
Yeah. Chairperson, Mr. Finishin, can I just conclude our presentation? We need to indicate, Chairperson, that the quality assurance processes that we've just spoken to were conducted based on UMALUSI's criteria. And the criteria we use is subjected to constant review and refinement to ensure that they are in line with current trends in assessment and examinations. And I need to indicate that UMALUSI has got a research unit that helps us to research and to interact with other bodies internationally and in Africa so that we use up to standard modern approaches to quality assurance. From the findings of the quality assurance process, many good traits were evident, but on the other hand, there are still many challenges that need to be addressed. And these are brought to the attention of the different assessment bodies. And the report is also submitted to the minister. We'll have to, from now onwards, for all the qualifications that are relevant to this portfolio committee, also submit a report at the beginning of each year, which are finishing, Honorable Chairperson. Now, we need significant interventions to improve the curriculum, teaching and learning, exposure of learners to compulsory practical component and assessment for native programs to make it a meaningful qualification. Further, the outdated unspecified curriculum and lack of studied assessment guidelines for the native programs create problems for appropriate quality assurance to be conducted, as indicated by Messi from CHAN. UMALUSI takes this opportunity to express appreciation to the Department of Higher Education and Training for their concerted efforts in delivering credible examinations in 2014. However, the following need urgent attention is submission of question papers for external moderation, leakage of question papers, mainly with the native programs, quality and accuracy of the data submitted for certification, backlog with NCV certification, implementation of effective systems for the management of irregularities. Chairperson, with regard to certification challenges that we discussed earlier on, UMALUSI is offering to give technical assistance to resolve the system's errors. We will offer that technical assistance to the department. And for us to reach that goal, we have to be allowed access to the development environment to issue the certificate. We will withdraw our technical support once the technical errors have been resolved. You know, we will do that. We'll withdraw our support. And what we don't offer to do, however, is to change staff, because that is not our role. We'll help and block the challenges that are there should the department allow us access to the system. I need to indicate, Chairperson, that the statistics that I provided at the beginning of my presentation, I need to put that in context. It is subject enrollment and not learner enrollment. I might have stated it wrongly. For the record, it is subject enrollment. The the report, Chairperson, that has been given by Mr. Ramkhali is available in page for the members of this committee. And what we do at UMADUS is that we have commissioned a study, a longitudinal study, that will check the areas of concern per assessment board to say, for how many years have you been raising this area of concern? And has there been movement on the side of that assessment board in rectifying that situation? So that we can then present a report to them, finally, and say, look, they've been raising this issue for the past 3 years. What have you done about it? So I've commissioned that research internally, and very soon we'll be providing the different assessment bodies with a report to say, this is how you fare in terms of taking remedial action on the issues that have been raised as areas of concern. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Professor Bowman.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation, honorable members. Let's reflect and engage. Professor Kozoli, honorable member Killian, honorable member Suela, honorable member Kuhl, honorable member Bata, and honorable member Keta. In that order.
Chair, thank you very much. Thank you for a very worrying and depressing presentation. Not because you're doing a bad job, but because our colleges clearly are in a very bad way. What you seem to have identified, although you have very kindly identified areas of good practice, there are obviously extremely severe problems in our sector, skills training sector, to the point where I wonder whether the kinds of people who are getting these certificates that we're going on and on about are actually properly trained. If their curricula are outdated in some cases, their exams aren't properly thought through, they aren't properly moderated, they aren't even secure, people don't bring their ID books. I mean, it looks to me like an absolute disaster area. And that does, the question I want to ask is the one that you touched on at the end, Doctor. How long have these poor practices been noted, and what has anybody done about them? Because if you're a totally toothless body, then I have to ask, why does UMALUSI even exist? What are you doing about these poor practices? Can you withdraw accreditation from a particular college? Can you actually do something about this? Because, and have you got a benchmark where you decide, this is too much now. We are now below the level of acceptability. So I'd like to know what has been done about them. Do colleges have to accept mitigation plans like you do when there's an audit of your threats? What do you call it? Your risks. Then you have to give a mitigation plan. Wouldn't it suit these colleges to have to give UMALUSI a mitigation plan? And so what are they planning to do about each particular problem, and then a year later actually report on what they've done? Second one is, we all know from the media and other sources that in the case of Matric, we have had a rebellion from the union involved, SATU, because it doesn't like having to have its markers measured in terms of whether they're qualified or not. Do you have the same problem in colleges? Or are you assured, again, are you able to assure us that the markers have the qualifications to mark? And then last one is, you know, in universities, and this is a post-school sector, you get international external examiners in to assist with external examining and to make sure that what you're doing is of international best practice. I understand that UMALUSI measures itself against international best practice. But I don't see that the colleges do that. Are their syllabuses ever looked at by any external person? The DAGT is telling us about how it's getting this partnership with Germany, one of the best skills educating countries in the world. Are the Germans able to maybe help us with providing external examiners to guide us as to the quality of these programs? Because unless something is done, this is going to be more like the school system where you keep churning out people who just cannot do what they're supposedly trained to do. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Over to Ms. Killian.
Chairperson. I would like to also express a concern about elements. Obviously, it's a very detailed presentation, and we appreciate this. I think we need to express a concern from the side of the need to get the whole vocational and technical sector up and running and being an attractive career path. And therefore, whatever Malusi is informing us about today, I think we certainly need a response from the department, because it is touching on the quality, it's touching on the relevance, and ultimately it's touching on the credibility of certificates issued. And I believe that very urgent interventions are required, and we will have to understand how, in the case of the Department of Higher Education, they intend to address these matters. It is clearly a very complex issue to manage, because we know that we have 50 TVET colleges and we have certain different campuses, you know, more than 200 campuses, etc. And one does not want to become sort of over-alarmist, but I think what we need is an indication, if Umalusi could tell us. I mean, this is a sort of an overview. Now, how do we assess the extent of the problem? You know, sometimes you say there's a jailbreak, and I'm just using it as an example. By the way, some of the terminology used here, I was wondering if it's a parliamentary language check. ISATs and all of that, you know, it's a new field for us. but I was just wondering, you know, sometimes you have an incident at a particular correctional center, and it's tiny compared to the extent of successes there. But on the other hand, in some other areas, so please, it is a process that you must direct us as a committee overseeing the Department of Higher Education. Where would you like to point our focus? And your assistance that you offered, as you said, not for training purposes, but to get the system to work better, I think that should be welcomed. If you're saying at your second last slide in the conclusion, significant interventions are required to improve curriculum, teaching, and learning, the exposure of, and specifically the NATED program. Has that now supposed to become outdated? Why is it that we still need it? Must it be completely overhauled? If we could just get an indication, because clearly Umalusi is in a position to benchmark the qualification against international practices as well. Thank you, Chair.
I now call upon Honourable Member Suela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the balanced presentation. They have given us the bad side of the story, but also the good side of the story, which is well welcome. However, I have to ask one or two questions. On the bed that the CEO earlier spoke about, that the TVET colleges owe Umalusi millions of rands, as explained by the CEO earlier, I just want to know, what is the department doing to ensure that these colleges pay on time? Because our understanding is that all invoices must be paid within 30 days. Now, what is the department doing about that? On examinations, does the department train examiners to ensure that they do not repeat same questions every year, the same question papers every other year? And I take note of the fact that the presenter also indicated that they have shown some creativity at some point. she indicated that they have shown some creativity, but that does not mean there is no reputation anyway. Thirdly, on the moderation of papers, the IED papers, 75% of them get approved on the first instance, while the DS papers, 54% of them get approved. What do you think is the cause of this discrepancy between the two? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions, Honorable Member Suela. We'll now move on to Honorable Member Mkhulu.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the presentation. On moderation of question papers, which is your page 8, under areas of concern, the first bullet states that the question papers did not meet the cognitive demands at first moderation. May you explain this? I am asking this because if you're looking at the different levels as postulated by Bloom in his taxonomy, there are six levels, which is from knowledge to evaluation. I would like to know what levels were you expecting and whether the examiners themselves were appraised or were told of the expected level. The second one, Umalusi says that the department's naked curriculum is outdated and underspecified, as one of my colleagues has said. They are suggesting a revision in this area. What is the department doing about this? This is for DHET. As the CEO, Dr. Mafu, this is the last one, Ramoketi, enumerated the challenges in the CETA. What is the knowledge of the department about these challenges? What has the department done in order to address these challenges? I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member.
Thank you very much, Chair. I must say I'm glad that we crossed this bridge by inviting Umalusi here. Firstly, I would like to suggest, Chair, with your permission, that maybe in our annual calendar for the sixth parliament of this portfolio committee, let's list Umalusi annually, maybe around this period, so that it could benefit both the previous history of the activities and the way forward of the term. Two, I'm glad that the issue of seated colleges not paying has been cleared. Because if you note, Chair, majority of them, when we had the luxury of visiting them, when they were explaining to us the hold up on certificates, it has always been, it's Umalusi, but we never got the sense of what is it that has not been done and why is Umalusi not, doing the end of the bargain, which is releasing the certificate. Mm-hmm. We were made to understand that you guys, sometimes you refuse because of your own intricate ways of explaining how you do things. It has nothing to do with the TVET colleges, such as, for instance, their obligation to pay certain levies and fees. Besides the quality declarations, which is on your own, you have to secure that and protect it. But I think there's been a lot of blame on your side, and I'm glad that blame has been cleared. And I would like you to do us a favor. If you could just break down how many and which one of these refugees or TVET colleges that have not been able to pay their fees for certificate in actual nominal amounts. Maybe it would be better if we do it like that. Chair, I have noted that some of the instances that the establishment speaks about have a lot to do with what I would call the examination environment. I do feel that in collaboration with the DHET, and in their request for an additional funding to secure examination environment, I think we need to push that urgently. And if you note in their annual budget, the way outstanding amounts or what I will call unfundable requests there, and I think we could just assist them to push and push that very hard. Because without a secured examination environment, problems that were raised regarding the nature and the substance of what comes out of an environment will continue. For instance, the fact that at some point, besides the presentation of a student towards the examination environment, the fact that some official stroke staff of the TVET colleges still run around in private vehicles and public vehicles with the examination papers is a problem. The old way in which it was done before, I think it's still practical even up until today. You secure an environment, you either hire what I would call delivery agencies to pick, drop from there, they take it straight to the central point. Whether the central point is Pretoria or it's Maritzburg or it's Tweando, that's something else. So you can't afford to have people just running around. And then the last very interesting one for me, which calls a lot for the continued registration or the continued acknowledgement of the certificates themselves. It is not only about the fact that our young people have passed, but also it is about the preparedness. I do recognize that in one of your slides under or headed moderation of question papers, areas of concern, you note very seriously there that there are outdated and unspecified curricula required urgent revision. I mean, this is a very urgent note because our students must walk away with a genuine qualification, relevant both to those that will interact with the future of the student, but also the international environment must take cognizance of what our students go through. It cannot be wishy-washy. We cannot wait for the outdatedness of it. Because I don't think we do not have the skills to continuously update the curriculum. We do. In fact, we have sufficient university skills to always work with TVET, to always provide extraordinary guidance, including the cohort inside TVET to be deployed into senior levels of moderation and paper expert, so as to set relevant and area-specific papers. Thanks, Chair.
Well, thank you, Honourable Member Mbata. We now call upon Honourable Member Ketana.
Thanks, Chair. Two issues that I want to raise. The first one is on this curriculum that is said to be not up to date. If I, and members can correct me, if I remember, it isn't long that we got a report from one of the quality assurers that we asked the same question, that is the curriculum up to standard, up to date? And they said yes, because when we determine the curriculum, we invite private sector and we invite all role players to be part of that determination of the curriculum. So the way it comes out, it is because it got participation from the people in the economy that our students expected to to participate when they get their qualification. Now, today we're hearing that the curriculum is not up to date. Can you just revisit this and tell us exactly what is happening? Why are we getting, from one hand, that don't worry about quality and standard, we ensure that this is relevant to the needs of the economy, because private sector and all other stakeholders are involved when we determine the curriculum, the standard and quality. What is the actual case there? It confuses a bit. Number two, if Umay Lucy can help this thing of certificate by going there, because you see, we got an information that there is lack of capacity in the country. Now Umay Lucy is coming and saying, all capacity is there, we are actually there to assist. Because we think if there's no capacity in the country, rather than employ people who can work, this state technology, if they can't deliver, let's rather get somebody from China who will help. I mean, you can't just sit with people who can't deliver. So we're actually thinking of replacing them. Now, if you're saying it isn't true that there's no capacity, you are there, you can help. Because 7 years of experience in the same problem without resolving is a long time, starting from 2008. So I'm sure attempts have been made to train them. And if up to today we don't have positive results, it's high time that you go in. I just want to hear from the department. Let's have a clear resolution here that says no or yes, whether they can help or not, so that you go out of this meeting knowing they are mandated to go and assist, at least so that you get certificate. The rest of other things, I'm sure we can sort out with time. But this one of certificate, if the offer is there within the country, let it be done. I'd like to hear what the department says.
Thank you very much for all the questions. I now request the chairperson to provide responses to the questions raised by the honourable members.
I've just spoken to the CEO, and I think we will share the responses. I think if I might start just really briefly with the questions raised by the honourable Bazzoli and Killian, I do think that it is the case that we are sitting with deep problems in the sector, deeper in my view than in the school sector. And there are many reasons for that, partly because quality assurance is not just the prerogative of a quality assurance body. It actually requires all the stakeholders to participate in holding accountable a particular sector. From the media to parents to whoever. I think that the TVET sector has been flying under the radar in that regard. Under the public radar, we all know the attention that the National Senior Certificate gets by everybody. I've never seen a discussion around TVET. Either a deep discussion in the media, particularly the electronic media, or anywhere else in any public space. So I think that's one of the issues. I think this is, I think the question was raised, so what are we doing about it? And is Malusi a toothless body? Well, yeah, it's a pretty useless watchdog without teeth. But I want to say that in the interest of not creating a national crisis, we have held back on doing what I think eventually we will be forced to do, and that is to block things. We have done that with colleges, individual colleges, where there were irregularities, but, we did not go into the detail of the problems we have in December when the assessment body, namely the DA, comes to us with in a totally unprepared way and on more than one occasion disrupts our whole program in December, which is a very tight program, Chairperson. So, and we came very close to, on several occasions, creating a national crisis on this. In fairness to the students, we decided not to do that. I think the last thing I want to say is that issue of quality. I think we may need a quality audit, not a quality assurance audit. Our disquiet about these issues are registered and recorded. If you go onto the Umalusi website, not only this past year's report, but several other years of reports, we are on record to say these are the problems. The question is, we have an unresponsive assessment body here who doesn't seem to learn from the things that we point out, either good or bad practices. The last area of concern on these two issues is really the issue of lecturer competence. So the question was raised about marker competence. Well, it goes beyond that. I mean, markers are a subset of the lecturers. And in this sector, more so than in the school or other university sector, the competence of lecturers should be called into question. There are many that teach at the same or lower level, that are qualified at the same or lower level at the level which they are teaching. That will never happen at a university. Even at schools, that doesn't happen. But it happens in the sector. And therefore, if you then ask about the competence of markets, well, I think it's a logical, necessary outcome of that. So on those two issues, that's what I want to say. I think the CEO may want to expand.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Professor Volman. Thank you very much. I just need to amplify some of the points that Professor Volman has already made and also respond to some of the questions that he has not responded to. Colleagues will recall that the NATED programs were withdrawn from the system, completely withdrawn, and they were replaced with the NCC, but there was an outcry in the industry that the NATED programs are needed, and the minister decided to bring them back. The issue of areas that are outdated in vocational education are serious in that you see how fast technology is moving, moving very fast. I mean, the mechanic who used to know the electronics of my father's car in the 70s would not touch the electronics of my car today. We're no more talking about a carburetor, we're talking about injectors and other things. So, for a problem to be decided in a car now, we don't need whatever gauge that used to have with the spinners that would have to be put to check whether the points open or closed. You put it in the machine, you put it in the computer will tell you that the problem is there. So, our learners have to be trained with the best modern technology. So, at the point of the reinstatement of this qualification, more especially in engineering, we're supposed to have, at that time, also revised the curriculum to be up to date and to specify areas of the curriculum so that the educators know what to teach and the assessors know what to assess. Honorable Kekana raises the issue of industry, and I want to add not only industry but universities. When we approve curriculum, universities are involved, industry is involved, but we're talking here about an old curriculum, which where industry and universities were involved way back then, but with the development of NCD, they were involved. And Umalusi, I need to indicate, has inherited the majority of the qualifications on this framework. Umalusi did not approve them, they inherited them in the sector, but with all new qualifications, they are then quality assured in terms of their curriculum before they are put on our framework of qualification. Now, Honorable Kekana, what we mean here is that this is a qualification that was recalled, that was reinstated, and at the point of reinstatement, it did not go through the same rigorous quality assurance processes. Quite surprising, quite paradoxically, these major programs that are outdated remain popular among the students and among the employers. That defeats my logic. It defeats my logic. In terms of whether Ubuntu is toothless or not, I think Professor Volman just made the point that we withdraw the results, we block the results, and we can declare the results null and void. We're serious irregularities have okay. These are the protocols that we follow. Council has got a committee of council called the Assessment Standards Committee. There are many others that specialize in other areas. But for her area of work, it is the Assessment Standards Committee, made up of experts, professors in statistics, in mathematics, and in education. Now, this committee is a committee of council. Before the results are approved, this committee, together with Faith and her team, report to council to say, council, these are the areas of concern. And council weighs it up to say, no, in this area we're not good to leave. And that much has been said previously several times in this sector. So we are not toothless. We are not toothless. This council is on record as we're growing, in some instances, the results of the whole province. I don't want to go into that issue because that province has since improved tremendously its systems. And council then calls an approval meeting with the DG and his officials, where we tell them about all these areas of concern, and where we decide to block the results, we indicate that, and it is done in writing at the end of that meeting with a letter signed by me, also raising areas of concern, you know, in summary form, not in a report form like this. It's a report, but in summary form, in a letter signed by me, to say, please give us a plan. Give us a plan on how we are going to improve in this area. The issue of the competency of educators, Professor Volman has touched on it. I want to just briefly amplify it to say, unlike in the schooling system, in this sector, we don't have educators who are trained in pedagogy. They are not educators. They are people who are artisans, who are qualified in these areas of trade. They are brought into colleges to teach. Now, they don't know the principles of teaching from the known to the unknown, simple to complex, Bloom's taxonomy and all those. They don't know those things. They are just there to share whatever technical expertise they have. So we are sitting with a problem there. But with regard to the appointment of markers, where markers have to be appointed by the department, they have to appoint them according to the personnel administrative measures, according to the PAM. So what we do as humanists is that we monitor them. We monitor the department. We do oversight to check whether the appointment of markers is according to policy or not. I cannot agree more with Honorable Kilian where she says we need to make this sector attractive in order for us to turn the economy around. Now, the assessment to the extent of the concern and the problem is done by council through the Assessment Standards Committee with the advice of the staff who have been on the ground monitoring this on behalf of council so that where the red lights are flashing, then council is able to pronounce to say, this far, we're not moving further. Now, on the question that has been asked by Honorable Suwela, true, the department has supported. There have been instances where we have sent the list of colleges that are owing us to the department. The department has intervened. At that time, you see a turnaround with the intervention of the DG and the DDG. You see a turnaround of money flowing back to Madhus. But immediately that kind of interaction stops, then you get this kind of laxity. And I need to mention that where an honorable member, I don't remember who it is Honorable Mbata, will be able to provide through your office, Honorable Chairperson, the colleges that are owing Umalusi. I'll ask the chief financial officer to draw a list with the amount. It is readily available at Umalusi so that we share it with the honorable members. It is expected of the department, Honorable Suwela, for it to train its examiners, to train its markers. It is the responsibility of all assessment bodies to do this. They can't just throw people into the deep end. Now, when you compare the approval of question papers at first moderation, second moderation, and looking at the percentage of the IB and that weight is high at first moderation, it is because of the competency of their examiners. They know how to assess the syllabus. They've been coached into it, they've been trained into it, so that after interpreting the syllabus, they'll know how to assess. So it is the responsibility of the assessment body. I need to indicate where Honorable Mkhulu is. Okay. She's writing a note here on Bloom's taxonomy. Now, where Honorable Mkhulu is asking us about Bloom's taxonomy, she may want to expatiate on that. But I need to indicate that each and every subject has got a syllabus, and it has got also the subject assessment guidelines. So that the examiner of the assessment body, the internal moderator of the assessment body, and the external moderator of Fumalusi are reading from the same hymn sheet to say this is the criteria that has to be used in assessing this particular subject. And it will specify the cognitive levels. And we are using the same Bloom taxonomy for us to arrive at that. It will specify high order questions 40%, low order questions 20%, middle order 40%, to accommodate learners with different competencies.
I just want to comment on what Dr. Rakamesi has said. Certainly is correct for the NCV courses. But the NCV courses are completely out of date. And they are, I don't know what words to describe, but there are no curriculum specifications, there's no exam specifications, there are no subject assessment guidelines. It's like a free for all. However, it is backed by popular demand. We know that with the advent of the NCV, there was an assumption that the native courses would disappear. But the NCV has problems in itself. Of course, there has been a review of that. And one of the problems is it doesn't work very well for subjects such as electrical engineering and mechanical engineering that's used to shorter terms and then a sandwich program where you take classes for 3 months and then you get practical experience. So if you look at who takes the native courses, N1 to N3, it would be electrical engineers largely and trades largely. Human resources would go into N3.
Can I just say, Chairperson, we appreciate the indication that we'll be invited to come and present annually to this honorable committee. But I wanted to suggest that June may be too late, and that presenting in February, after the end of the previous year's processes, could make a lot of sense, because it will be soon after the reports would have been finalized. So I'll leave that in your hands, Chairperson, to decide. People will always blame Umalusi for, because we issue certificates, and I get a lot of inquiries myself, because they don't understand how the process runs. You know, but it's a pity that even educators at this college do not understand how the process runs, that we can't issue certificates without getting reliable data from the department. We cannot. Chairperson, there was an instance in the term of the previous committee, where it was meeting the SRCs of the different colleges in Gauteng, the college management and the department at a hotel in Johannesburg. I happened to be in that hotel doing some other things with my staff. You know, I think we're meeting the basic education external moderators. I was called into that portfolio committee meeting to say, hey, Umalusi is being blamed for ABC. Please account. I was able to account on the spot. I don't know whether the colleague was there or not. I think the colleague was there. So all I'm appreciating is that we have been given the opportunity to present our side of the story. And when you go and you want us to come with you to come and account, we'll be available. I'll either release the staff or I'll come myself to account for the work that we do. In terms of the preparedness of our learners, it emphasizes the point of the practicals, the importance of the ISAC, that is this college-based assessment now, in terms of how they do their practicals, whether they are passing the practicals or not, is very critical for vocational subjects. You can't just assume that theory will help these learners. Because once they get into the industry, they need retraining if they've only been exposed to what you call to theory. Shepard, I need to indicate, and I'm indicating this reluctantly, but I need to say this. It is not for the first time that Umalusi provides you know, offers help to CEDA and to the department. Certainly, we have done that before. And when we did, I would send the staff to the premises of the department where CEDA is operating. My staff, who could have assisted, would sit there idle and even phone me and say, but why are we here, CEO? And then I would say, no, come back. Because I don't see why I would send people out, leave their jobs, to go and support, only find that their support is not appreciated by CEDA. That has happened not once, it has happened twice. So I'm saying we are still making that offer now. And that offer, if it can be appreciated, we'll be able to turn the situation around and support. But if they turn it down again, I'll be very disappointed indeed. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
And now I would like to give this opportunity to the department to also sponsor some responses and also commitment to address all those areas of concern that were raised by the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate that we did accept the offer for assistance, and we do accept the offer for assistance. It is our CETA counterparts that have said that the emergency officials could not have access to the system, but what we will do in Friday's meeting with the DG, we will ensure that there is no blockage or complications regarding that, and that our requests and expectations are clearly articulated with the DG and the CEO of CETA on Friday, Chair, in terms of that process, because those officials have worked at CETA previously and do have a working knowledge, therefore, of that particular programming language used on the system. And we thank Umulusi for that assistance. Chair, regarding the matters of the curriculum, our branch, the Vocational Continuing Education Training Branch, is in the process of finalizing a turnaround strategy for the TVET colleges, which includes the curriculum aspects as well as the quality of teaching and learning, that is lecturer development, in those processes. And that, as I said, is the plan that is in process. In terms of the markers that get appointed, we use criteria stipulated in the policy which indicates that the marker should have a qualification, but not necessarily a teaching qualification. They should at least have a qualification regarding the subject area. As Umulusi quite correctly indicates that the college cohort of lecturers do lack the basic pedagogic and didactic background in terms of how to understand assessments and how to understand cognitive levels. So we do in each province have a centralized workshop with each of our examiners each and every year, taking them through the steps, showing them what the different conceptual cognitive levels means. And Chair, the reference to the quality in the marking guidelines is a stating point. We often find that folks think that they're asking a cognitive level 4 question, but it ends up being a cognitive level 1 question. And without being facetious or unkind, Chair, I think it's to do with language as well, especially when we look at how the question papers are structured. For example, they may use a verb that is speaking to a high-level cognitive skill, but when you get to see what they want to do with that information, what the candidate must do with that information, it's not that high-level in terms of that. So we do have those briefing workshops, and in our turnaround strategy, this is one of the things that our officials will be addressing as well in the teaching and learning context and in terms of the lecturer development. We also, in our marking process, go through the same exercise about cognitive levels and matching the question to the answer and the answer to the question very, very clearly, so that the candidate is fairly marked according to the questions asked and not against what somebody thought the answer was be or a mismatch between the answers. So time and energy and effort is put into that. In terms of the processes, we're aware that from the feedback given by the Quality Council of areas that need improvement, the one area that we have paid specific attention to was the marking process. In the last 2 to 3 years, we have totally turned it around where we had
each chief marker running their own little process in their own little college. So it was many, many centers, over 60, 70 places where marking was taking place. We have now provincialized all of the marking, so it takes place at 9 provincial centers for our native program. And for the what we call the exit levels in 3, N6, and our NCB, it takes place at national marking centers so that the standards can be attained. So, Chair, a lot of time and money has gone into that particular effort, and it's now starting to reap the benefits. What we found initially was that student performance actually went down when we started standardizing and correcting this. And we have spoken with our turnaround strategy team for them to find a means to share feedback with the lecturers, for example, on the mismatch between the verbs and cognitive levels, etc., to also then help influence the quality of the internal continuous assessment tasks, because the lecturers set those tasks. So we would find the same pattern happening in the college with the internal assessment tasks as what we're finding with the question papers, Chair. In terms of the moderators, I know that both Umalusi and ourselves sometimes find it difficult to find a moderator for a scarce skill subject. You know, these scarce skill subjects have got, sometimes the enrollment suddenly balloons and other times it's very small. And then it's very difficult for us to find somebody who's actually lectured in those subjects, and the drawing subjects are some of the problems as well in that regard. But we have had workshops with Umalusi on how to take that process forward. And our monitoring team is checking that our colleges are providing the candidates during the conduct of exams with the equipment to actually do those exams, because that was also a problem in terms of the practice that the candidate was doing, the candidates were getting. In terms of the payment for certificates, the Department of Basic Education arranged with National Treasury a special dispensation for our public colleges. So from a certain time period onwards, that bill will be covered by government and not by those colleges. But we will continue to assist Umalusi in communicating outstanding fees to the colleges, to both our public and our private colleges whom we service in the exam process. So, Chair, in terms of the quality of the paper, the quality of the moderation, etc., I think we've covered those, the Bloom's taxonomy, etc. The quality of the data, the timing of the data is also related to the CETA problem, where we have to rely on CETA to provide us with this data for all of our processes. And in terms of the INS, just to comment here that the INS, by their design, are trimester or semester programs. If you look at their structure is to provide theoretical content to people who are work-based. So the NCB is a full-time qualification which includes both the practice and the theory. So they're two different qualifications that address two different target groups and two different types of demand. So one has to be careful to just want to replace them all just with one qualification that lies full-time, and those are the things that the department is looking at. I know we're looking at occupational qualifications that lead directly to a trade test with the requisite practical experience, etc., to fill that chasm that has existed between the practice and actually getting a qualification or an authentic certificate saying that you are an able electrician or engineer, etc. And that is all at this stage to work in progress. I know that the first occupational qualification is an electrical certificate that they that has been worked on, and they're busy with the curriculum framework there and with the electrical industry to put one qualification, which I think replaces something like 23 different electrical qualifications that currently exist. So that's also the problem, is the number of qualifications there. And just to indicate, Chair, that we continue to work closely with Umalusi. We do understand that where the roles and responsibilities lie and where we pass companies, and we respect that, but we do continue to, and will continue to work with Umalusi to ensure that our candidates get the best
possible examination in the interests of integrity and in the interest of upholding the qualifications that this country offers our youth. Thank you.
Page. So that's the only missing thing on your document. But then, is there a page that refers to statistical moderation areas for concern? Now, to the department, the first late submission in and inaccurate standardization. I'd like your response on that one because we do want a turnaround in this area of work. But also late submission of qualitative input reports. My understanding here is by the Department of Higher Education and Training. So we do want a turnaround also in this area of work. So maybe if you could respond to that one. It will assist. And then to the CEO, in your conclusion, you are drawing our attention to the challenges. These challenges, your last page conclusion, not your last page, one but last, where you say significant interventions are required to improve the curriculum. You're not saying by who? Is it yourself or is it the department? By the department, I'm sure they're taking note of that, teaching and learning, to improve teaching and learning by the department. Exposure of learner to objects. As long as the department can also take this into consideration, and then also we need a response to this one, because where we raise issues of concern, I think the main reason for raising those issues is to find a way of correcting. So I'm sure, Chief Director.
Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate how this indicate that the CETA service delivery and capacities also challenged us with our certification data, because we rely on CETA for all data, whether it's registration data, certification data, standardization data. All data is processed and produced on the CETA system. So we will not only be talking about certification, where we meet the DG of Telecommunications and Postal Services, but we'll be talking about all service delivery to the examination, the national examinations function, as an area that is actually in national crisis regarding that. And then just in terms of the preparation of lecturers and quality of teaching and even quality of performance, that is part of the turnaround strategy. I will certainly communicate that to Dr. Mahlobo and his team to be able to give feedback on that process. But that is besides curriculum, teaching and learning and lecture development is also part of that strategy.
Okay, and members, I take it that we have now exhausted. Okay, I see honourable member Kitana wants to come in, and any other member? So it's only honourable member Kitana, and then we then close our.
Chair, just before we leave this, and I hope it wasn't addressed in my absence. Where CEO say what is his logic is this thing of curriculum, that though industry and all stakeholders are involved in determining the curriculum, somehow it remains not up to date. Why is that so, and what can we do? Because we can't just leave matters as they are. I mean, in our computers here in Parliament, every year we update them, and we are told after a certain period that the software has to be updated. And it should happen across all the fields, like you've rightly pointed out, that modern technology is such that it needs to be updated. Now, if the teaching of curriculum, let alone the implementation, just the determining of curriculum is not updated. how are we going to compete anyway in the world with upgraded things? The big question becomes now, how are we making sure that our curriculum is updated all the time? Because that is the world we're living in, and if we're not going to live in that world, we'll be left behind. Something must be done, and I want to hear what the proposals are, because this needs to be corrected. We can work with an updated curriculum. Let's rather struggle with people who are going to teach it, implement it, but in theory, at least the framework must be there for the curriculum to be up to date all the time.
Well, before you come in, CEO, transportation of exam material used in public transport, there's a very high risk here. I'm sure you are coming with a turnaround. Is it yourself or the department? The department. Hey, this one, I'm telling you. You can even put us into serious disrepute. People can know. Hey, they will follow that public transport and steal the question papers, and then we will be in trouble. If there can be a correction here, and then how are others transporting? Is it the department's transport? The taxi one is to us. You know, it shows a very, very high risk. And chief invigilators, lack expertise to manage exams. How were they appointed, and how can we be assisted? Because we need people with the capacity here. To manage exams, you know, there's another high risk here. We don't want to be put into disrepute because of problems emanating from people who do not know what to do. How were they appointed? But because they're there, I'm sure we can train them. Train them as well as now, because we've already identified them. So subject them to training. And then some colleges monitored, papers were not sent to the marking center within 24 hours. What happens in between? Sends a very high suspicion. Also here, there's a high risk. So I'm sure it's the department. Papers are not sent to the marking center because people must play by the book. I think it is prescribed that within a certain question paper. So you then say, why would people not adhere to the prescript or legal framework that prescribes on how these matters should be handled? I think that would be all from us, and then we proceed. So over to, I'm sure it's Department of Education. Hey, I'm telling you, I know we're working together to do more and to improve. So over to you, Chief Director.
Chief, just to indicate that in terms of the curriculum framework, the native curriculum is very scant. It doesn't give you the breadth and depth and scope besides the comment about some of the content being outdated. Our Programs and Qualifications Chief Directorate is initiating a process of compiling content frameworks so that the lecturer and the candidate know exactly what will be taught, what must be learned, and what must be assessed to add some substance. Because it's just basically like your skeleton that's there in terms of that curriculum, in the absence of any other documentation. And in terms of the inner workings and the chief invigilators, etc., we have been running, our one unit has been going out to the provinces to train administrators of exams, not only at college head offices, but at the exam centres, and we've seen an improvement in the conduct, management, and administration of examinations on the whole. Yes, there are still challenges, but there has been improvement even in terms of the invigilation, and we continue to do those workshops. We will be having the next big one now in August as a run-up to our November exam to address, amongst other things, the issues that Dr. Rakametsi mentioned in his presentation, incorrect data being submitted by the college, gaps in the data, etc., over and above invigilation processes, etc., and we do get all of the colleges to complete a state of readiness document, which we do a sample of the verification of it through site visits. Regarding the examinations for the GTC, I just want to point out that the provinces manage and conduct that examination, not the National Department. The National Department will be taking over that competence on the 1st of April 2017. So we have started the process with the provinces, and we will surely check and put the checks and balances in place to ensure that public transport is not being used for that particular qualification. In terms of the retrieval of scripts after the writing of an exam session, we have just changed the delivery model. The provinces collect the GTC scripts on every day, or the centre should be taking it back to the delivery point. It depends on the model. The different provinces use different models. But in terms of our college sector, we have just changed our delivery and retrieval model, and all scripts have to be returned to the delivery point on the same day that the examination is being written to alleviate and eliminate these irregularities, these leakages, and even the delivery model has been changed to also eliminate that. We're using it now in the June exam, which is not an Umalusi exam, but it will be implemented also in the August, continuing across the cycle. So in the August exam, where Umalusi is involved in the process, they in their monitoring will see the changed model and be able to quality assure it and verify that process. Thank you, Chair.
Well, then, I would like to hand over to the Chairperson to give us just a closing statement, because we have come to the end of this meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I just again want to repeat what I said at the beginning, that as Umalusi we value the opportunity to present the work and the mandate of Umalusi to this body and to all the honourable members. I want to just say two things. One, about the need for change in curriculum that the Honourable Kakana has raised. I do think that the NCV is a modern curriculum. It may not be perfect, but it's not the subject of the kind of criticism that has been levelled. What is the case, as I've said before, that NAPED, that many of those subjects, not all, many of those subjects are in dire need of change. And they haven't changed for years. And somebody said to change a curriculum is like changing a cemetery. Everything in it is dead, but there's got a lot of friends that's not. They're not so vested interest in keeping the curriculum the way it is because of areas of competence and comfort and so on. Let me just close by saying, Honourable Chairperson, that there are just three words that describe quality assurance as far as the Umalusi is concerned. The one is moderation, the other one is monitoring, and standardization. And then, of course, is verification. So, and why I say this is that the issue of certification, as far as Umalusi's function is concerned, comes after a very long chain of quality-assuring processes. There's the moderation of papers, the monitoring of exams, the moderation of the ICAS, which is Integrated Continuous Assessment. Then there's, of course, the monitoring of the marking, monitoring standardization of the results, and then the verification of the results. Now, I just want to say there is a bedeviling factor, and that is that this whole process is bedeviled, as we've discussed today, by the lack of integrity in the data, and also on what I call a loose grip on compliance. I do think that the sector does suffer from a problem in that regard. And I want to just close with a dilemma which I think I struggle with personally as an education system, both at school level and at the TVS level. It is the case, I think it was Honourable Suela that raised a question about how come the IEB cycle is one and then others are more than one. It is symptomatic, I think, of a problem that I'm not sure exactly how to solve that, but let's take schools, public schools, private schools, all private independent schools need to be accredited by UMALUSI. But public schools are deemed accredited. And I have a problem with that because I deeply believe that there's a moral purpose of education is that the best schools cannot only be for the private good. It has to be for the public good. And the same is true at the TVET sector. The private TVET colleges have to be accredited by UMALUSI. But public colleges are deemed accredited. I think that only ensures that those colleges for the private good get better, and that those that are public are not subject to the same level of scrutiny. Honorable Chairperson, I thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you very much. On behalf of the committee, we really would like to thank you for responding to our invitation. And from our engagement, you can see that indeed we had to converge so that we can engage one another and understand exactly what still needs to be done so that we can take the work of the department to a greater height. We appreciate the effort made by your good self to ensure that annually you will be reporting to the committee, and we were advised that the best time would be February. We're taking that advice. Well, also we appreciate the offer by your good self to offer technical expertise to CETA. Am I quoting correct, CETA or department? CETA. Both department also. To the department, because CETA, I think, accounts to the department. All right. So thank you very much, and I had a positive response coming from the chief director to say they welcome also this. This time around, when you send people, there will be a clear plan on where they should fit in, and when they are done, then they will be taken back. Now, what I'm not sure of is whether we can describe this one as a funded mandate or not a funded mandate, because remember, whatever we do, we're going to do it within the parameters of the law. The AG is also there watching. So as long as whatever we do within the parameters of the law. I'm aware of your unqualified report. We don't want to mess that one up, but we do want to take it to a clean audit. All right. Concerns raised by UMALUSI on moderation and certification have been noted, and we hope the department will address them. There was a commitment. Indeed, we would like, if possible, UMALUSI representative to be part and parcel of the meeting where we will be meeting CETA next week, Wednesday. Just to come and listen so that you can assist also with the gaps and where the gaps are, and then I'm sure you can then also in that meeting participate in the best ways of addressing the weekend. Now let's urge that progress report will be sent to the committee by the department on all these areas, the gaps that were identified, and how the department will then be closing these gaps. Well, as this committee, we will wait for the list of the owing TVET colleges so that we can then take the matter up with the department, because they account to the department. And also when we visit those colleges, we can maybe on your behalf make a call for payment, which is prescribed by your KFMA within 30 days. Of course, there was also a request for additional funding to secure examination environment, to secure a safe examination environment. So I think we will take that matter, but the department is here. The can hear. I know that they're also operating within their budgetary constraints, but now they know where they identify a saving, they could redirect it in this area of work so that we don't face the nation here. If I may use the words of Professor, we don't create a national crisis. Underscore the student. All right, but then also let's tighten the loose groups or ends where we've spoken about leakage of exam papers, which is still a problem. I think we must find a way there, because that's the one that puts us into a disrepute. And we want those credible results. So that they are not tainted by this. And then we're looking forward to your continual credible certificate. Because let's be honest, we have another problem in the Department of Education, that of what is it called again, where students cannot be taken maybe by colleges, articulation. So I think we will rely on you so that students don't get frustrated because of poor, you know, workmanship at another level that blocks them from entering into higher level. But thank you very much. The meeting between ourselves is now adjourned. Thank you really for all the responses. And then, honorable members, we just have got two little items to look at. Our next, the session is at 3, am I right? The session is at 3, okay? Okay, I won't keep you long. I think by 1:30 we'll be done. We will be so done. Thank you very much. You are good. By 1:30. Just quickly look at the minutes of the previous meeting. We need to adopt them so that we close that chapter as well. Quickly look at the minutes of the previous meeting. Well, in terms of the agenda, we have to adopt minutes of the 20th and the 27th. Can you quickly look at the minutes of the 20th? 20th May. Well, the minutes are circulated, and I tell you that members, please read the minutes. I will then zoom to page 1. Correction. Page 1. Page 1. Page 2, we're looking at the correction. The correctness of the minutes. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. I see your hand is up. Okay. Page 5. Done. We're on page 5. Minutes of the 20th, okay. Any proposal for adoption of the minutes? Any proposal for adoption to me? Professor Kogoli is proposing any seconder? The minutes are adopted as a true reflection of the support transparency. Let's now move on to minutes of the 27th of May. Also on this one, the assumption is that members have read the minutes because these minutes are circulated on time. Now let's look at correction. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 5. Any proposal for adoption? Manga Dimeng? Any seconder? Excuse me. Any seconder? Professor Ozoni, thank you very much. Okay. Well, the minutes have now been adopted. All right, thank you so much for your participation. I know that we always engage. I want us to be, we have been robust, but I want us to be more robust. Thank you, the meeting says adjourned. If I'm like this, Professor Kozonda, when I'm old,